Praying with you. Write that telephone number down, friends, at 404-212-2444. When you call, you say, Reverend Gregory, in the name of Jesus, send me that prayer prosperity package.
In my
soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
You are the Lord God Almighty.
And in you are
exalted over all the earth.
Welcome to Living by the Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
John chapter 10 is a very familiar scripture to all of us. But I want to read that. I want to start off today with that particular scripture. Verse 10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Now, if we go back and catch verse 9, he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. So here we see Jesus saying he's the door and he's the good shepherd, but he's also the one that came to give us life and that more abundantly. Everybody say more.
More.
You see, more never means less. Amen. So the longer you live with the Lord in relationship with him, the more life you should be experiencing. Amen. More is available. Amen. Not just life, but life and that more abundantly. More abundant life.
Amen.
Well, I learned a long time ago that this scripture here is the dividing line between the will of God and being able to discern the will of the devil, of the world, of the flesh. The thief comes to do what?
Steal.
To steal, kill, and to what? All right, that's the devil. That's the dividing line right there. When Jesus talked about the thief, he's referring to Satan, because that's what his purpose is, to steal, kill, and to destroy. So anything in your life that's stealing from you, killing something, or destroying something in your life, you know that's not the work of God. You have to let this be the dividing line in your life. Now, if it's producing life and health and strength, then you know that that's the work of God.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. So I want you to understand that real quick, because we're going to talk about a method that Satan has to try to bring stealing and killing and destroying in our life. We have a covenant of life, and the devil wants to bring death. Now, turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse 7. This is another powerful scripture here. It says, for God have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. Now, this scripture here talks about what God hasn't given to us, but it also makes reference to what he has given. Amen. I can see here that God is not giving some things, and then there are some things that he is giving. Now, notice here this scripture says, for God have not given us the spirit of fear. If you have a spirit of fear upon you, it didn't come from God. Amen. God is not the author of fear. Not that kind of fear. So we can see and we can know some things about God that God wants you to win in life. God has a plan for your success. He has a plan for your prosperity. He has a plan to bless you. God is not in the business of trying to bring curses on people. Amen. Jesus came to redeem us from the curse of the law. Amen. He came to redeem us from all that's wrong and bad in life. He has a plan for our victory no matter what we're facing. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. All we have to do is learn how to lean on him and how to trust him in good times and in bad. Amen. Mom and Dad talked today about learning how to trust God when things was bad. Amen. And learning how to trust God when things are good, because some people don't know how to trust when things are going good. Some people forget God when things are good. They forget about trusting until trouble comes. And if you hadn't been spending time with God, when trouble come, all you know how to pray is, Lord, have mercy. But God is a good God. The devil is a bad devil. God is full of goodness. The devil is full of evil. There's no darkness in God, and there's no light in the devil. So if you're partnering with the devil, then I'm going to tell you, he's going to fill your life with darkness, and it won't be long until he has enslaved your mind. The devil wants you to fail in life. That's his plan, is to damn your soul so that when you pass this life, that you go off into a godless eternity. People don't like to talk about hell, but hell's a real place just like heaven is. The bad thing about hell, there ain't no exits. Once you land there, that's it. So what we do in this life is extremely important. The decisions that we make in this life will have eternal consequences. So we have to make sure that we're choosing right. So he comes with a mission, the devil does, to steal, kill, and destroy. Whatever God is doing in your life, the devil wants to bring an end to it. He either wants to take from you, he wants to kill your dream, he wants to destroy your hope. You know, he wants you just to be lost and to be godless. And that's how he tried to destroy your life. He wants to destroy you, but he can't do it without your cooperation. He has to have your cooperation to work his plan, just like God has to have your cooperation to work his plan in your life. The devil just can't roughshod over people because you're a free moral agent. You have a will that God gave you, and you have the ability to say yes and no. So the devil has to have your cooperation. You have to give him a place in your life for him to be successful. And the Bible tells us that he forms weapons against us that are designed to stop and hinder God's plan. So are there weapons formed against you today? Absolutely. You got any hard spots in your life? Well, yeah, you know, hard times come to everybody. Jesus said in the world you're going to have tribulation. But he said what? So we forget about that part. We always talk about the tribulation. Oh, child, I'm going up the rough side. Get off the rough side. Ain't no way in the Bible tell you to climb up the rough side. Jesus said, speak to the mountain. He didn't say go up the rough side. We brag on going up the rough side. Oh, child, you know that devil after me. I'm going up the rough side of the mountain. Well, get off the rough side. God wants you to be blessed. Amen. Just because he formed a weapon don't mean that it's going to prosper. Amen. I say go ahead and make them big. Amen. Go ahead and form the weapon. No matter how big he make the weapon, it's not going to prosper if you learn how to trust God. The size of the weapon is immaterial. Because he can't make a weapon to beat God. The devil have never outsmarted God on anything. God wants you to have an overwhelming victory. Everybody say overwhelming. You know what overwhelming victory is? Overwhelming victory is when you win and there's no doubt who the best one was. There ain't no doubt left. If you had to go triple overtime to beat somebody, you can't call that overwhelming. Because in a game that close, it could have went either way. One or two plays might have decided the whole thing. How many of y'all haven't heard the illustration about Gabriel and overwhelming? Okay, all I need is one to tell it. That's all. All I need is one. I don't need but one to tell it. That's all. Just thank you, Till. There you go. Gabriel was playing his PlayStation game. I went to check on him. He's mighty quiet back there. I said, let me go see what he's doing. Well, he's playing his PlayStation game. I said, well, Gabe, what's the score? 300 and some number he called. 300 and something to nothing. I say, what? 300 and something to nothing? He said, yeah. I said, Gabe, I say, why you want to play a game like that? I say, wouldn't you want the game to be kind of back and forth, where kind of close, where, you know, to kind of keep you going, you know, to keep you interested in the game? He said, no, Dad. He said, the whole object is to keep the opponent at zero. He didn't care how many points he had. His whole thing was to keep him from scoring. This is what I told Gabe. I said, Gabe, well, it sure ain't no doubt about who is the victory in this game. When you done beat somebody 300 and something to nothing, it ain't no doubt about who the best team is. I said, oh, and I thought about that, and the Lord said, that's it. He said, that's just what I want my children to have. He said, that's the kind of victory I want all my children to have. Overwhelming. I'm going to tell you what Jesus, let me tell you, it wasn't even close. When Jesus got raised from the dead, that it wasn't nip and tuck about like who going to win is in the balance. Let me tell you, Jesus had an overwhelming victory on the cross. He purchased an overwhelming victory. There ain't no doubt about who is Lord. He left no doubt. Y'all remember that movie, The Titans? Remember The Titans? Y'all remember when that team, they had them referees was cheating? Then one of the coaches, you know, went out there and told the umpire, he said, I know what you're doing. And then the coach went back and he told the other coach, the head coach, he told Denzel Washington, he said, Herman, run it up. Leave no doubt. I can hear the Holy Ghost say, church, run it up. Run it up. Don't have no mercy on the devil. Don't even feel sorry for him that he's a loser. I'm going to tell you, leave no doubt in your life about who is the Lord of lords and the King of kings in your life. I'm going to tell you, leave no doubt. Too many people got too much doubt because the devil is right there nip and tuck with God. Sometimes you look at him and they say, well, I thought they were saved. Don't look like they're saved. Then next time, oh, yeah, they're saved. They're on fire now. Week later. Wait, what? They don't, what? That's the person I saw last week that the devil win. They like this here, back and forth, back and forth. I'm going to tell you today, make up your mind to leave no doubt. Leave no doubt about who you serve. Hallelujah. Erase the doubt. Leave no doubt. Run it up. Keep the devil at zero. Don't let him have one single solitary victory in your life. Keep him at zero. Don't let him score on you. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, say, don't let the devil score. I mean, he ain't got enough offense to come against what God got. You understand? He don't have a defense to stop us. He ain't got an offense to score on us. Because God is good. We have an overwhelming victory through the cross. In fact, God guarantees our victory if we just trust him. The Bible says that he always, everybody say always, causes us to what? Triumph. To triumph in Christ Jesus. Amen? Then the Bible says that he always gives us what? The victory through our Lord and Jesus Christ. What do always mean?
Always.
Always mean you ain't never supposed to lose. Oh, Pastor, you just can't go through life and not lose one. How many did Jesus lose? He didn't lose any. You in the family, right? You in the family? Are you in the family? Then he expect you to win. God don't have a plan for you to fail. If he had a plan for our failure, then we could enjoy failure. We'd be glad when we fail. You know, nobody glad when we fail. When we mess up, when we fail, we say, Lord, forgive me, and we get back up and we try again. There's something in us that tells us we're not supposed to lose. I got an overwhelming, an overcoming spirit in me. It's the Holy Ghost. He overcomes. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I overcame. I've overcome. You got the same spirit in you he had in him. You got the same Holy Ghost that came on Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. You are not a powder puff. Praise God. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment thou shalt condemn. Listen to this. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith God. God will stand up and say, I made them righteous. Who wants to challenge that? He declared ain't no weapon going to prosper. Well, I believe that. Let the devil form the weapon. You stay with God, you're going to win. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. So the devil forms his weapons, but when we trust God, his weapons don't work. If you will read through the Psalms, you will find out that every time the wicked plot against the righteous, that their trap fails, and whatever they plan for the righteous come back on them. Oh, you see it all through the Psalms. Whenever the wicked lay a net for me, if he don't watch out, he's going to fall in himself. So that's why I don't worry. I don't worry about somebody scheming against me. I'm not scared of somebody trying to put a curse on me. Can't nobody curse me. I'm blessed. I got the spirit of a champion in me. And so do you. Now, I went to a high school football game when I was in college. And they decided they were going to play the school for the deaf on their homecoming. Now, I'm not talking bad about the deaf or anything like that. But that was their opponent. And, you know, those guys on the other team had to work with hand signals because they couldn't hear. So they were already at a tremendous disadvantage. And, I mean, if they got in the wrong defense and they had somebody didn't line up right, well, the coach couldn't holler and say, move, move. There wasn't nobody around him could holler at him to tell him to get in the right spot. So if they left one side of the line wide open, they were just in bad shape, because that quarterback come up there and look and see where what people wasn't and where they were, and then they run the ball right where wasn't nobody at. I say, this ain't fair. That's the way the devil is that he got to keep you deaf to God. He got to blind your mind in some way for his plays to work. In other words, he can't win without your assistance. You have to line up in the wrong place. That means get out of the right place. You have to make a wrong choice. When the coach done told you to go this way, you go the other way. Then he got a way to score on you. You have to cooperate with him for him to win. If you say, no, I ain't doing it, ain't a thing in the world he can do about it. See, I used to think the devil had all kind of power. Now, I'm not saying he's powerless, because he's not. The Bible talks about the power of darkness. So he does have power, but his power is magnified in ignorance. In other words, when you don't know, he can exercise power and authority over you. But once you find out the truth, his days of mastering you is over. The closer you stay to God, the more words you get on the inside, I'm going to tell you, the less and less effective that he will be in your life. You know, the devil ought not be able to push the same button. A button he pushed 20 years ago, that button's still working. Somehow it should be disconnected by now. I mean, if he got a button he can push, he say, push this button right here. They're going to get mad. They're going to holler. Push it. Watch them. Watch them go into a fit. Push it. And he pushed the button and you just start cussing and stuff. He said, look here, push this in here, they're going to get drunk. Pushing this in here, they're going to want a woman. Push this in here, they want some drugs. Push this right here, they lie. When you going to ever disconnect? Amen. I thank God that God disconnected some buttons in my life. Yes. Amen. We got some bridges burned and blew up. I'm going to tell you, we didn't burn the bridge, we blew them up. I ain't going back. I ain't going back to what I used to be. You know, I died to the old life, and you should have died to your old life. If you're a Christian, then be one. If you're Christ-like, then live that way. He ought to be able to start hitting everything and say, we malfunction. What done happened? Everything, nothing working no more. What used to upset you ought not upset you no more. I mean, people talk about you like a dog ought not hurt your feeling as much. I mean, we still have feelings, but you know what? You had to learn how to overcome all of that. We're supposed to be growing up and maturing. We're supposed to be getting stronger and stronger, wiser and wiser as time goes on. Disconnect them from your life. The Bible says it this way. Neither give place to the devil. Don't give him place. We're not warring after the flesh. Amen. Praise God. Now, let's go back to our key text here in 2 Timothy, because we're going to talk about this fear. This is one of the weapons that he forms to keep people in bondage. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. The word fear appears in 479 scriptures in the Bible, and it's used 500 times to either describe the fear of the Lord or the fear that comes from Satan. Now, the fear of the Lord is a good fear because it means a reverence, a respect, a honor that you have. The fear of God in your life needs to be strong. In other words, you need to have strong reverence for God, strong respect for holy things. In other words, you don't treat holy things as common. You have reverence and respect for God. Kind of like a child would have a fear for their parents. In other words, you know, my fear of my daddy kept me out of Mr. Ed's watermelon patch. And I remember after I got saved and I found out that fear was of the devil, I remember when I went home one weekend, I was hiding behind the door in the living room. I was going to scare somebody. I was going to scare somebody good when they come through there. Lights was off. And then the Holy Ghost said, fear is a spirit. Don't do that. And boy, I come out from behind that door. I said, oh, no, I'm going to stop that in this house. We entertain fear a lot of times. You know, on Halloween, we used to go around the graveyard on purpose, trying to scare each other. See, we didn't know no better. Fear is a spirit that we have to deal with. So we should be busy allowing God to eradicate every ounce of fear from our lives. God wants us to walk by faith, not by fear. He commands us to not fear. Now, let's look at some scriptures on it. Psalm 23:4 says, yea, though I walk through the what? The valley of the shadow of death, what?
I will fear
no evil. Why? For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So you can see here that the psalmist had learned that he couldn't let fear dominate him. And I found out another thing. It's not just fear of evil, but it is also the fear of bad things happening to you. A lot of people live with the fear of bad things happening to them. For some reason, they just can't. I just got a feeling something bad going to happen. Oh, I just feel something ain't good. Something bad going to happen to me. Oh, I just feel it. I just fear that something good is not going to happen to me. Something bad going to happen. Well, you know, that's just as damning. You can't live with the fear of bad things happening to you. Sometimes people are afraid they're never going to get married. And then when they get married, they're afraid they can't keep them. Some people are afraid they ain't never going to find a job. Then when they find one, they're afraid they're going to lose it. Oh, I'm just scared I'm going to lose this job. I'm scared I'm going to mess up. Some people are afraid of success. They believe in God for success. And then the door of success and opportunity opens. And then they're scared to take it. They're scared to go through and take another step of faith. And they won't believe God. And they say, oh, that just means more responsibility. Yeah, they're going to pay me more. But, you know, I'm going to have more people I'm going to have to deal with. I don't want no headache. You've been believing God for increase. Now the increase come. Now you see, the devil always will raise up a wall. He'll always raise up something and say, you can't take that increase. And I mean, you need to pray over everything, but I'm going to tell you, there's times when God will open an opportunity for you. And the reason why people don't take it and don't take that step is because of fear. Some of y'all got business in you right now. You're in your mind's eye, in your spirit, you've seen yourself owning a business. And the one thing that will stop you from doing it is fear. Oh, I'm scared I might lose everything if I do that. Well, you just can't be dominated by fear. Fear is a spirit. It's a tormenting spirit. It causes bondage in your life. That's why you have to treat fear like an enemy. And you don't accept fear. And you have to resist fear. Sometimes I had to rebuke fear at my house. Because, you know, late at night, if you got to go back to your car and get something, you go outside and then you look all around. You make sure all the lights on outside. Turn all the lights on. Because sometimes you have in your mind, somebody might be trying to break in my car there. Or somebody might be behind my shed or back there. Me go out there. And you know, if you don't deal with it right then, the fear just grow on you. And before you know, you're running back in the house. Get in there, close the door. They come around the corner. The devil be playing all kind of games. Oh, they coming around the corner right now. Get in there. Nothing but the devil. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. That's fear. When that fear hits your mind, now I don't think you need to be careless. Ain't nothing wrong with looking and things like that and examining things. But when it starts driving you and tormenting your mind, you need to say, because I come out there, I mean, when fear come on me, I say, Allah brakas, Allah brakas. Hallelujah. I say, they hear that, I bet they'd be running. He said, man, that man ain't crazy. Get away from his house. See, that fear can be so subtle that it'll creep in on you. That's why it's so damning, because it likes to stay under the radar, so to speak. It likes to work covert. I mean, just going in, just doing whatever their assignment is without being detected. They're in and they're out. Nobody even know they was there. That's the way the devil wants to work. He wants to work quietly. He's not going to blow the trumpet and say, da-da-da-da-da, fear's here. No, he just come in with the fear. And he just give you a little thought that caused fear. You know, sometime if you get sick, the devil always come with the biggie. It's cancer. He'll give you fear. You're going to die. Then he start building a case on you. Well, you know, so-and-so died with that. They was a relative. You know, that's in your bloodline. See, if you don't have no word in you, then you will fall prey to all of that. And before you know it, you'll be embracing that. And even though you might not voice it, but it's in the back of your mind all the time. Every time you take a step, you say, oh, that's that counsel. No, it ain't. You got to resist that. You have to take authority over that and say no. And then you go to the word where God promised that Jesus is our healer. Yeah. Amen. Amen. How about Luke 12:32? Fear not, little flock. That's what Jesus told them. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. 1 John 4:18 said, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casted out fear. Now, if God is love and love casts out fear, then fear can't be your friend. Not this kind of fear. You see, God is diabolically opposed to fear. When the love of God, when you receive a revelation of the love of God, fear starts leaving your life. Lord, I don't want to do that. I'm scared of that. And then I remember the day that I was praying, spending some time with the Lord. The Lord just came to me and he revealed to me how much he loved me. And I saw how much God loved me. And when I saw it and got the revelation of it, the resistance.